All right, Shabbos Shalom. Good morning. Good morning. A good night, everyone. Aschos Baruch Hashem to be able to continue to learn together. Shkayt Rabbi Richter for giving the shir over the first days of Yontiv. A great Aschos Baruch Hashem to be able to continue together with the Chevra. Thank you, Chevra. Thank you. I will say begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Said and Simeh Haken, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushals this month to show their Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for all of His Nisim and Niflos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bestow His Rachmanas upon us, redeem all of the hostages, bring Hatzlacha to our soldiers and Hatzlacha to all of Am Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael, as well as Le'iloi Nishmas Yachmiel Buck's father, Martin Buck, Mutl Ben Chaim Leib HaKoin Zichron Levracha. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Dovi Nina Elman, in honor of Uncle Paul. Uncle Paul, this is the longest running, next to Yoni Frager's birthday. This has been the longest running sponsorship. Baruch Hashem, in honor of Uncle Paul, his dedication to the Daf inspires Dovi each and every day. Incredible. Amir Hashem. Uncle Paul, you should be zocha to continue to inspire me ve esem shanim tovos. All right, Tavos, with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Nun Zayin. We are picking up three lines down from the top. Amar Rava. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chassa. Boy Rabbi Ami. O Noah Ein Lahem, Bittel Mekach Yesh Lahem, O Ein Lahem. So Tavos, here's the Shiloh. Remember again, we had a Mishnah on Nun Vav Amud Aleph that went on to Nun Vav Amud Beis. What did the Mishnah say? So just a quick recap of the Mishnah. And by the way, I can't contain myself a little bit. Shabbos and Sunday, we have some Agarata. Yeah, believe it or not. Then of course we go into Ezu Neshach. So it's a little bit of calm before the storm. It's a beautiful storm. It's a magnificent, raging spiritual storm. And I would say, but again, I looked ahead a little bit, very excited for the upcoming Daven. So the Mishnah says as follows. Remember again, we had the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Elu Dvarim She'in Lahem Onah. The Mishnah went through a list of things that are not subject to the halachos of Onah. Amongst those things, avadim, purchases of servants, shtaros, documents, karkaos, real estate purchases, and hekdish. So we'll say, here's the Gemara Shaila. So Rav asks like this. When we say that there's no Onah, so we'll say, remember, typically when we say Onah, what does Onah mean? Onah means overcharging by a sixth. So remember, again, we'll say, in the world of overcharging, we have three different cases. Under a sixth, what's halacha with under a sixth? Pachos mishasos, nemechila. There's nothing even to talk about. There's no discussion, right? Over a sixth, remember again, the transaction is voidable by either party. And when we speak about Onah is a sixth. What happens when you overcharge by a sixth? What's the halacha then? The halacha is you have to return the overcharge amount, but the transaction stands. Remember, that's the machlokes. I'm talking how we pass on halacha l'maisa. So transaction stands, you return the overcharge. So we'll say, so now Rav is asking the following shiloh. When we say that there's ain't onah, let's say by hekdish, that there's no onah by hekdish. So we'll say, so does that mean, what about bittel mekach? So bittel mekach is over a sixth. So we say that by hekdish, there's no onah. So if Beis HaMikdash oversold something by a sixth, there's no onah. What happens if, let's say, a transaction occurred and there's more than a sixth of overcharging or undercharging? Does that concept apply to hekdish situations? So onah in b'ayim, bittel mekach yesh lahem, o ein lahem. Okay, the Gemara says as follows. That's the shayla. Amar Nachman. Hadu Amar Rav Chassa, Parshat Rabbi Ami, Onah Ein Lahem, Bittel Mekach Yesh Lahem. So we'll see, interestingly enough, so the Gemara suggests over here that Rabbi Ami said, even though there is no Onah by Hekdish situations, and by the way, I'm using Hekdish, but it's everything listed in the Mishnah, even though there is no Onah, there is Bittel Mekach. There is Bittel Mekach. We'll say, take a look at Rashi. Actually, no, right, let's go back there. So Rabbi Yonah says, Ahekdishos. So we'll say, now listen to this. So now Rabbi, so there's a lot of things happening over here. First shiloh of the day is there bittel mekach? If you go ahead and you overcharge or undercharge by more than a sixth, does that impact any of the onah exempt transactions? So Rabbi Ami suggests that although they are not subject to onah, they are subject to bittel mekach. Okay, now we put a period there. Now we'll say the Gemara introduces a new conversation, but it's going to loop back to the previous conversations. The Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yona Amar, Ahekdeshos, Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, Akarkaos, Vitarvayu Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Amru, Ona Ein Lahem, Bittel Mekach Yesh Lahem. Suppose now listen to this. We have Rabbi Yonah, the Gemara suggests, the Gemara says, is talking about Hekdeshos, Hekdesh transactions. Rabbi Yirmiyah is talking about Karka, real estate transactions. And both of them say in their respective cases that there is no Onah, but there is Bittel Mekach. Okay, which again, I will say just to clarify our terms, which means that one opinion is saying by Hekdesh, one opinion is saying by Karka. If Halach Lamaisa, again, you overcharge or undercharge by a sixth, there's no Onah. But if you overcharge or undercharge by more than a sixth, ultimately these transactions are voidable. One is attributing this statement to Hekdesh, and one is attributing this statement to Karka, to real estate. And I both say both are going ahead and making their comments in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now what Rabbi Yochanan said, we'll have to come back to in just a little bit. So here we go. So the opinion that says that Bittel Mekach applies to Hekdesh, Kol Shekina Karkos, all the more so, ultimately again agrees that Bittel Mekach applies to Karko. However, Mandamer Karkos, but the one who says that Bittel Mekach applies to Karko, Aval Hekdeshos Lo, but will not necessarily agree that Bittel Mekach applies to Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Kiddush Shmuel. Now I will say, now why is that? Because listen to this, there's the opinion of Shmuel. It's actually quite fascinating. Shmuel says like this, Dumer Shmuel, Hekdesh Shave Mana, Shechidlu Al Shave Pruta, Mechulo. So Shmuel says like this, we'll say that if you have a Hekdesh item, you have a Kodesh item that is worth a Mana, and you deconsecrate it onto a Pruta, what's the Halacha? It's Mechulo, it's deconsecrated. Now I will say, now what do you see from there? You see from there that in the realm of deconsecration, you could deconsecrate items with dissimilar values. So here, the item itself is worth a mana. You're deconsecrating it onto a pruta. So once that happens, so Mechula tells me that therefore it's deconsecrated, which tells you that valuations in general with Hekdesh kind of follow a different type of paradigm. And therefore, along those same lines, there's no Bittel Mekach. There's no Bittel Mekach as well. So Tinan Hasam, Im Haya Kodesh Bal Mum Yotzal Chulin V'tzarach Lasos L'damim. Yet what we learned, now listen to this. Let's say you have an animal. Let's say you have a consecrated animal that is a bamum. So what's talocha? Talocha is that it goes out to chulin, right? It becomes deconsecrated. However, tzarech lasos lo damim. But you have to settle up the accounting with the Beis HaMikdash. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Tzarech lasos imaya kodesh bamum. We'll say it's before the lines get wide, about, I don't know, 8 lines up. So listen to this. Reisha demasnis in hachi. Haomer hare zu tachas zu. So the Gemara says, Tmuras zu, zu chalifei zu, harizit tmura zu, zu mechulalas al zu, lo amar klom, she'in karben tamim mischalel, dem haya kodesh bamum, yatsa lechulin, v'tzarech lasos lo damim. So we'll say now, watch this. Without getting into all the technicalities of tmura over here, what the Gemara suggests is like this. If you have a consecrated animal, and it's a bamum, and you go ahead and you decide to exchange a non-blemished animal for the blemished animal, it works, right? It works, and halacha lemaisa, again, the non-blemished animal becomes deconsecrated. However, v'tzarech lasos lo damim, im ein zu shel chulin yafek yishel hekdesh, mosif aleh ma'osav ad kedei d'mei hekdesh. So we'll say, watch the following case. So let's say animal A, which is a balmum. So now you go ahead and you say animal B should be instead of animal A. So first of all, interestingly enough, it works. What happens if animal B is not as valuable as animal A? So the halach is, you have to make up that difference in value to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the halacha. L'tzarech lasos lo damim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says like this, Yotza l'chulin divar Torah, l'tzarech lasos lo damim nidivrehem. So Rabbi will say, so now here's what's interesting. So we have a statement, right? The statement of the Mishnah is, so we'll say, let's go with the case. I consecrated an animal. The animal becomes a balmum. As a balmum, as a blemished animal, obviously it cannot be offered up. It cannot be offered up. So now what do? I go and I make an exchange. I say animal B should be instead of animal A. So halacha lemaisa, number one, it works. Animal B is now offered. Where does this become complicated? If there's a difference in value between A and B. So let's assume for a moment B is worth less than A. Then what's the halacha? You have to make up the difference. That's the statement in the Mishnah. Now we're going to see an interesting machlokes. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yotza l'chulin dvar Torah v'tzarech lasos l'odamim midivrayim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, here are the mechanics. Midaraisa, animal A becomes totally deconsecrated. And really, really animal being fills its stead, fills its place. And mid-daraisa, there is no need to make up the financial difference, the value difference between A and B. Mid-drabanan, Chazal came along and said, you should make up the financial difference. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, first white line in Rashi, Yotza l'chul in Dvar Torah, Fafino ein zu yofa kimose ki da amar da amit meona. So we'll say, so again, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, and they will say, this just, we're kind of circling back. Before we said that Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiyah were both making statements that according to Rabbi Yochanan, here's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Alokha l'maisa, Midaraisa, the exchange works, and even if B is worth less than A, you're good to go. You're good to go. Midirabanan, we want you to make up the difference. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, no, af sarech lasos lo dame minatora. Reish Lakish says, no, there's a biblical obligation to go ahead and settle up the difference, even Midaraisa. Take a look at Rashi. Second white line in Rashi. Af tzarech la'asos lo dam dvar Torah. Degabi hekdeshos erkecha ksiv bekulu. Vekasavar erkecha shaviyav mashma. Rabbi Yochanan savar erkecha kol dam misherchu mashma im zolim yakar. So we'll say it happens. Rashi points out over here that it's machlokis in drasha psukim. So we're not going to involve ourselves too much in the drasha psukim right now. Right now, here's what you have to know. So again, I substitute B for A. I will say, just to point out, this is a permitted case of substitution, right? Normally, again, tmura you're not allowed to do. This is permitted, right? Why is this permitted? Because animal A is blemished. So therefore, B is going to come instead of A. Difference, right? B is worth less than A. Rabbi Yochanan says, Midaraisa, you're good to go. Midirabanan, you should pay the difference of the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish, no, even Midaraisa, you have to pay the difference to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maya Skinon. What's the case? So both say, so now, say, I just want to point out, here's what's interesting. Both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it's actually interesting, like, when you look at this situation externally, it's going to look the same, right? Why? Because both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are telling you, what do you have to do? You have to pay the difference in value between B and A. You do have to do it. Just the difference is, why do you have to do it? Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you only have to do it midrabanon. And Reish Lakish is saying, you have to do it daraisa. Okay. Now, we'll say, here we loop back to our scene. Now, remember again, what's our question? Just so we keep our eye on the ball, what's our question? Our question is, we established in the Mishnah that Hekdish is not subject to Ona'ah. So I want to say, so just to give you a very simple example like this, right? I go ahead and I redeem something from the Beis HaMikdash. And it turns out that I redeemed it for more than a sixth of its value. What's Talacha? No Ona'ah. No Ona'ah. So what are we trying to figure out over here? There's no Ona'ah by Hekdish, but is there Bittel Mekach? So let's say my transaction with the Beis HaMikdash was, again, either over more than a sixth, overvalued or undervalued, does that allow for the voiding of the transaction? That's our Shaila over here. So watch this. It says the Gemara. Here we go. This is very exciting. Maya Skinun, what's the case? So we'll say, if we're talking about over here a case of where that was, what we're trying to figure out is the difference in the value between B and A. So if we're talking about the amount of Ona, i.e. a sixth, so Bahal Reish Lakish Tzarech Lasos Lo Damim Dvar Torah. So I don't understand. So Reish Lakish is saying that if the difference between B and A is B is worth exactly 1/6 less than A. Okay, let's assume for a moment. So we'll say, so what is 1/6? What is one sixth? That's Ona'ah. So we'll say, so now you're gonna tell me Reish Lakish is saying that mid d'oraisa, I'm obligated to make up that 1/6 to the Beis HaMikdash? That can't be. Why not? So we'll say, what is that 1/6 called? What is that called? It's called Ona'ah. Say, by the way, whenever I ask you a question and you don't know the answer for the next couple of days, you can always just blurt out Ona'ah and you're going to be right. You're going to be right, right? So again, Moses, that's right. So if it's exactly 1/6, what is that? Let's try this again. But exactly 1/6, what is that called? Ona'ah. Wow, incredible. Fantastic. Good. So let's say, so the Maisa again, so Reish Lakish can't be saying that Midaraisa, I have to pay that difference. V'hatnan, Eilu Dvarim She'im Len Ona'ah, Hakarkos, Vavodim, Vashtaros, Vekdeshos. So we'll say it can't be a sixth, right? Because a sixth, again, remember I will say, if animal B was worth exactly 1/6 less than animal A, It can't be that Reish Lakish is saying that midoraisa, I have to pay that difference, because that difference is ona. And everyone agrees that ona does not apply to hekdesh. That's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. So what's the case? Ela bitl mekach. Oh, okay. So rather, it must be, what's the case? It must be the case is like this. Animal B is worth, is more than a sixth less than animal A. That's the case. More than a sixth. What we call both say bitl mekach. In other words, more than a sixth is the threshold where either party could go ahead and avoid the transaction. So let's see, the case in question is, again, one more time. I was makdish animal A, ready to offer it up as a carbon. It develops a mum. I exchange it for animal B, and it turns out that animal B is worth more than one-sixth less the value of animal A. Okay, now we'll say, now this begins to make a little bit of sense. So what does Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish says that halacha lamaisa, I am biblically obligated to make up that difference to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because Reish Lakish will say like this, even though Ona'a doesn't apply to the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't apply to Hekdash, but what? Bittul Mekach does. So therefore, again, add a sixth, add once. In other words, so technically speaking, if animal B was exactly a sixth less than the value of animal A, then what would be the halacha? I wouldn't be obligated to do anything. But in most of the case in question is animal B is more than a sixth less than the value of animal A. That's bitl mekach. And Reish Lakish therefore says, only ona doesn't apply to hekdish. Bitl mekach, more than a sixth, does apply to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore I am obligated to make up the difference. Incredible. Well, here's what's interesting. So Gemara says, "Bahan leim Rabbi Yochanan zarach la'asos l'adam midivrayim." Shabbos says, it's interesting. So yet, even in this case, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that midirabanan, you also have to make up the more than a sixth, which is interesting. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says it's not a biblical obligation, but he says midirabanan, you have to. But here's what's interesting. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, ekdeshos. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Akarkos Vitar Vayu Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Amri. Oh no, Elohim Bitul Mekach Yeshlan. He had Rabbi say beforehand, again, remember, we had Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi say, who were both aligning themselves with the positions of Rabbi Yochanan, and both agreed that Halacha L'Maisa, there's no Ona, but there is Bittul Mekach. And I will say, at least according to Rabbi Yonah was aligning that shita with Hekdish. So according to Rabbi Yonah's interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan was agreeing that Bittul Mekach does apply to Hekdish. Right? I should say, doesn't apply to Hekdish. Or does apply to Hekdish. Meaning that you would have to pay ultimately by Hekdish. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, "Oh no, in lahem bitul mekach yish lahem." So we'll say the point the Gemara is making over here is we just set this up as saying that Reish Lakish holds that bitul mekach would apply to Hekdish, and Rabbi Yochanan says that it doesn't. Right? That's why Rabbi Yochanan is saying that ultimately you only have to make up the difference midrabanan and midaraisa. But yet, also we have this opinion of Rabbi Yonah who says that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, if the value of animal number two is more than a sixth less than the value of animal number one, you would have to make that up. Midaraisa. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, the olam bebitul mekach. In reality, we are talking about a case where the value of animal A is more than one-sixth. The value of, I should say differently, animal B is worth more than one-sixth less than animal A. So therefore, again, we're in the realm over here of bitul mekach, right? So above ona, and I want to say, what do you do? The epoch to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, ud Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. And I want to say, the truth is, switch around the shitos. If you just go ahead and switch around the attributions, so then ultimately, again, you have Rabbi Yochanan saying that what? Rabbi Yochanan will then be saying that halacha l'maisa, there is bitul mekach midaraisa. So therefore, again, you have Rabbi Yochanan ultimately saying that halacha l'maisa, if animal B is more than one-sixth less the value of animal A, then there is a biblical obligation to make up that difference to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because even though ona'a doesn't apply to the Beis HaMikdash, ultimately, bitul mekach does. Okay. So the Gemara says, "But my kamiflagi." So what are they arguing about? But the Shmuel. So we'll say they're arguing on Shmuel. And we'll say, now remember again, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said above, it's actually very interesting here. He said, if you have hekdish, a consecrated item that's worth a mana, and you consecrate it onto a pruta, that the deconsecration ultimately works. So the Gemara is suggesting that the machlokes of Yochanan and Shlakish is rooted in Shmuel. How so? Damar Shmuel, hektish shave mana, shechilalu al shave pruta. That if halacha lemaisa, again, you have hektish that is worth a mana, and you deconsecrate it ultimately on a pruta, mechulal, that it is deconsecrated, mar islay de Shmuel, umar leslay de Shmuel. One opinion holds of Shmuel, and one opinion doesn't hold of Shmuel. Now, both say, if you take a quick look at Rashi, you see the Rashi, efoch, actually, you see Tosfos umar savar, see that Tosfos mar savar? Yeah, in the left hand. If you take your finger, put your index finger, etzba elokim, right? Take your, and you go ahead and you move it rightward. You'll see in the middle of Rashi there's a period over there. And this is the kamiflagi. Just pick up over there. The kamiflagi reish lagish Rabbi Yochanan. Manda amar, ein lahem bitl mekach, islay de Shmuel. V'chevan de imit me'ona, loshna shtus, v'loshna yose mishasus, di lega behedyot aminan ta, aval behektish leka lomeymar ta'os, v'di next Rashi, umar les leila de Shmuel. Kasar v'chevan de ika yose mishasus, lav derach mekachu, v'chevan de lega behmekach, lav midi yuga behchil namis. Okay, so that is outside. So let me say again, the more suggesting is like this. Remember, we've done two things over here. Number one, we've reversed the positions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan is, so what is everyone agreeing on? Let's go. Let's always start with what everybody agrees with. What does everybody agree with? Number one, there is no Ona by Hekdesh. That's what everybody's agreeing with. What's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is Bitul Mekach. More than a sixth. Does that concept of voiding a transaction apply to Hekdesh or not? So now what we're suggesting is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is no. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is yes. There is Bitul Mekach by Hekdesh. According to Reish Lakish, the answer is no. And it turns out that the root of their machlokes is Shmuel. One opinion holds like Shmuel, one opinion doesn't hold like Shmuel. Okay, Ibai, so the other possibility is no. The Kuli Alma is Lud Shmuel. Everyone agrees with Shmuel. Vahacha, Bahacha Miflagi. So we'll say, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Shechilalo in Lechat Chilalo. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, here's the machlokes. One opinion holds. Now, remember again, Shmuel's case is where you're taking hekdish that is worth a mana, and you are deconsecrating it, obviously, on something that is worth much less. In this case, a pruta. So I will say, so the shaila now becomes, how do you read Shmuel's words? One says, mar savar shechilalo in lechatchilalo. We're talking about a case of ex post facto. You shouldn't do this lechatchila. You should not deconsecrate something that's worth a mana, something that's worth a pruta. If you did it, it works. But lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. Umar savar, afil lechatchila. The other opinion says, no, even lechatchila, you are permitted to go out and do this. Ibai's the other possibility is, the olam bichdeona, in reality, maybe we're talking about, again, that the case is talking about a sixth, and not more than a sixth, velo sepoch, and therefore do not reverse the shittas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, so now we'll say above 180. Ubud Rav Chista. And they're arguing Rav Chista. What does Rav Chista say? Ubud Rav Chista kamiflagi da'amar, my ain lahem ona. And we'll say, what does it mean when we say that hektish is not subject to ona? Einon bitoras ona. Okay, we'll say, here we go. When we say, when the Mishnah says that, for example, there is no ona by hekdish, what does that mean? So now, the Gemara is suggesting that what it means is that they are not subject to the entire framework of ona. Meaning what? Amud beis. Tafilu pachos nikidei ona chozer. Wow. Okay, so now, we've just done something very dramatic, right? So let's just point out kind of where we started, right? Where do we start? Like, I have absolutely no idea. I don't know where we are, what we're doing, or where we started. Okay, so I'll tell you. Where do we start? We start in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah told us that, let's just focus on Hekdesh for now, that Hekdesh is not subject to the laws of Ona. So let's say, what do I know from that statement? What I know from that statement is that if in Hekdesh there is a fluctuation of a sixth, it doesn't negate the transaction, right? And the transaction stands, there's no returning of the money. We started out in today's daf trying to figure out, okay, what happens if halacha lemaisa, there is an overcharge or an undercharge by more than a sixth? We call that bitul mekach. So Rabbi Say sounded like there was a machlokis of Yochanan and Shlokish about whether or not Bittul Mekach applies midorais or midrabanan. Rabbi Say, now interestingly enough, but this entire time, we've been assuming that what happens if in a hektish transaction there's ultimately again an overvaluation or under evaluation by under a sixth? We've been assuming the entire time that nothing to talk about. Okay, so Rabbi Say, so now comes along Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda says like this: when we say that in the Mishnah, that Hekdish is not subject to Ona, it means Rabbi Say that Hekdish is totally pulled out of the concept of Ona altogether. Which means what? Afilu pachos mikidei Ona achoser. Rabbi Say, what that means is like this: if when it comes to a Hekdish transaction, if Hekdish in any way gets the short end of the straw, even by what? Less than a sixth? Ultimately, again, the house always wins, right? And Hekdish, right? And that undercharge or overcharge that adversely impacts Hekdish is always returned. So I'll say this is a totally different understanding. So therefore, again, it goes without saying that if it's a sixth, it's going to be returned to the Mikdash. And it goes without saying that if it's over a sixth, it's going to get returned or voided for the Mikdash. In other words, at a sixth or over a sixth, the base of Mikdash never is shortchanged. The Hekdish over here is even under a sixth. In or not means under normal circumstances, if in normal business, normal transactional law, there's an undercharge and overcharge by less than a sixth, we always assume that, what do we call that? Mechila. Mechila. Not by the Mikdash, I will say. By the Mikdash, again, any variation in actual value, even less than a sixth, goes back to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says over here, Tafilu pachos mikidei ona chozer. So we'll say a dramatically different understanding of this phrase. So the Gemara says, Meisei, one second, hold on. Meisei, ribis va'ona lehejot, vein ribis va'ona lehekdish. So let's listen to this. There is a prohibition of ribis, of interest, charging interest, and ona, and overcharging, in normal, in regular transactions, vein ribis va'ona lehekdish. But ultimately, again, there is no interest, and there is no ona by hekdish transactions. Okay, the Gemara says, so what does this mean? So the Gemara says, Mia lima mimas nisin. So we'll say, so first of all, what do you do with that statement? That's a brice, right? The brice says there is no hekdish and there is no ona. Right? I'm sorry. Ribis va'ona lehejon vein ribis va'ona lehekdish. So mia lima mimas nisin. So we'll say, so again, that makes it sound like the laws of ona don't apply to hekdish. The laws of ribis and ona don't apply to hekdish. Mia lima mimas nisin. Do kimna betara sona. So the Gemara says, but understand, how is this any stronger than the Mishnah, where we've established it in the laws of ona? Hachinami ribis v'din ona lehejot ve'ein ribis v'din ona lehegdish. Rather, I will say, what do we mean to say? It's like this. Rather, we mean to say that halacha lemaisa. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami ribis v'din ona lehejot ve'in ribis v'din ona lehekdish." There is ribis and din ona for hejot, but there is no ribis and din ona lehekdish. Ihachi, if that's the case, haynu diktani seifa. Look at the seifa. Zech omer behejot mi behekdish. So we'll say, so what do you do with the seifa? The seifa says this is a chumrah that hejot has over hekdish. So we'll say, which makes it sound like what? That ona doesn't apply. That ona doesn't apply to hekdish. To which the Gemara says, maybe not, maybe a ribis. Maybe what that means is interest. What it means is interest applies to hejot, but doesn't apply to hekdish. And maybe ona applies to both. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, listni nami zechomer behekdish mi behejot, ona. Let it go ahead and say that this is a chomer that hekdish has over hejot, in that hekdish is subject to ona, but it's not subject to ona, while hejot is. To which the Gemara says, hachi hashta. So we'll say, here's the difference. You can make this statement that this is a chumra that hejot has over hekdish, because this might be the only area where this is true. Ela hekdish zechomer v'sulo. The problem is you can't phrase it in the reverse, because it makes it sound like this is one of the only chumras that hekdish has over hejot, and of course that is certainly not true. Hekdish has many chumras over hejot. To which the Gemara says, ribis de hekdish hechidami. So Rabbi says, by the way, what is the case of ribis? What does Rabbi say? So again, just want to point out what we have kind of floating out here. What we have floating out here is two dramatically different interpretations, as when the Mishnah says that the laws of Ona don't apply to Hekdish, what does that mean? So possibility number one, which was the possibility we were operating with up until we turned the page, was that literally, again, if there's an overcharge or an undercharge by more than this, by a sixth, halal kalamaisa, that does not void the transaction. Or I should say, that money doesn't go back to the seller purchaser. Rather, it remains, the advantage remains with the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Again, less than a sixth is always going to be my mechila. And more than a sixth, bitl mecca, that was going to sound like what? It was subject to the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now, dramatically different interpretation, which is, what does it mean that ein ona lehekdesh? What does it mean? That Allah said the whole concept of ona doesn't apply, and even less than a sixth will go back to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So just hold that. Hold that. We still haven't resolved that yet. The Imara will say it gets caught up on something else. The Braisa said, there's no ribis for the Beis HaMikdash. Wow. There's no ribis for the Beis HaMikdash. So what's that case? No laws of interest. So the Gemara says, watch this. Ribis the hekdish hechidami. This is so interesting. Ilema da ose gizbar ve'esrim. So also now watch this. Let's say I have the following case. The temple treasurer is interested in making some money for the mikdash. So I'll say, what does he do? So the gizbar comes over to him. He says, silver, here's the deal. Right? I'll lend you 100 zuz, pay back 120 to the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos says, so first of all, who wouldn't take that deal? Who wouldn't take that deal, right? To have the opportunity to mahana the Beis HaMikdash, sign me up. I'll take that in a moment. Shabbos says, so Lamaisa again. So that's because the gizbar comes along and says, Shabbos says, by the way, you understand, of course, that's classic ribis, right? In other words, he says, I'll give you 100 zuz now and give me back 120 in 2 weeks from now. Right? He said, that's ribis, right? If you and I would do that to each other, that would be a biblical prohibition both upon the lender and the borrower. Next paragraph in the session. So the Gemara says, here's the problem. Now understand, the way this works is as follows. In that case, the Gizbar himself committed Mi'ila. Why did he commit Mi'ila? He has no right to start loaning out temple funds. Now granted, I want to point out, his intention is good. Right, What's his intention? Make money for the mikdash, that friend. Right, make money for the mikdash. So we'll say so. Right, make money for the mikdash, but he's not allowed to do that. Right, he doesn't have that right over Beis HaMikdash funds to lend it out with interest. Now, whenever you take temple property and do something you're not allowed to do with it, that's called meila. So therefore, you know, we'll say essentially he's committed an act of meila again, inadvertently. So Ba'alo Mala Gizbar. Now here's the chav. What happens when you do mi'ila? V'cheivan shema'al ha-gizbar yatsu me'osav l'chulin v'havalu l'hejot. Now here's what's interesting. What happens when you commit mi'ila? Essentially what mi'ila does something very interesting. Mi'ila deconsecrates the item, makes it yours. Now you're obligated to what? What are you obligated to, Rabbosai? Payback plus a fifth. Remember again, we saw this in, I don't know, yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, a year and a half ago, whenever it was, right? So as I said, Lamaisa again, right? You have, so now, here's the interesting. So when you take temple property illegally, it becomes yours, it becomes deconsecrated. So as such, when the Gizbar comes along and lends me money, 100 zuz, at a rate, right, at a 20% rate, I have to pay him back 120. So he's committed in the ilah, the money is his, he's effectively lending me his money. So we'll say, so we're trying, so therefore, that's not a case of Beis HaMikdash money, that's a case of Mila. Take a quick look at Rashi. Hacham Askinan. Rashi says over here, Haidik Tani in Ribis Lahekdish, Lav Bahalva Koi, Ela Behedro Chikiba Maos Mina Lishka Mina Gizbar. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry, not yet. So it says, therefore, again, what's the case? So remember, if it's just a Pasha case of the Gizbar lending me money, right, gives me 100, pay back 120, remember, we're looking for a case of ribis by the Beis HaMikdash. That wouldn't be a ribis by the Beis HaMikdash because the Gizbar committed Mi'ila. Once he committed Mi'ila, the money becomes his. So effectively, whose money is he lending me? His money. Now, obviously, I'm about to say, now once it's his money, of course, this becomes an illegal ribis transaction. Okay. So what's the case? I'm Rav Oshia, I'm asking, you know, this is actually fascinating. Here's the case. Here's the case of ribis. Now watch this. Here's the case. I was awarded a Beis HaMikdash contract. So I will say, remember again, The Beis HaMikdash, where did we see this? I feel like this might have been maybe in Masechta Shkalim we saw this. Where's the Aleph? Shkalim. Shkalim Perek Dalet. Good. So let's say now watch this. So listen to this. The gaze over here is where the Beis HaMikdash would give out contracts. Right? So for example, I got a contract to supply fine flour. Solas, right? Fine flour to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I was saying that the terms of my contract, the terms of my contract are, look at Rashi for just a moment. So now watch this. I got the Karban Mincha contract. I landed that contract. So now I was saying, now what's my contract? So I provide the fine flour for the Karban Mincha. I am putting in a bid for that one, right? So I have no idea about flour, but I'm going to learn. I'm gonna Google it. So I get awarded the fine flour contract for the Karban Mincha. Now, what does that mean? Now, the terms of my contract are Arba Si'in Bisela. So the terms of my contract are I am going to provide fine flour to the Beis HaMikdash at a rate of four sa' per sela. That's the rate of my contract. Now, what happened? Back to the Gemara. Now, the problem is the price of flour went up, and you could only get flour, you could only get three sitin for a sela. So, what's the halacha? Ultimately, again, I am obligated to go ahead and honor the contract. So, just finish up that Rashi. Rashi says, V'holkru v'amdu mishalosh l'misela, t'ilu hedjot asra lifsok al peros, ad sh'yetzi ashar. The kind of loyos ashar adayin la arva poskin. So we'll say we're going to actually see this in Ezu Neshach. You cannot enter into agreement like this with another person, because I will say again, the problem you get into over here is ribis, because again the prices fluctuate. Yet interestingly enough, what the Beis HaMikdash has the ability to do is to lock in contracts. So now I got locked into a contract of for sitin for a sela. Let's read the book of Yorak Yisanya. This is so interesting. So I entered into a contract to sell again four sa'ah of flour for a sela. And what happens? And I will say, now the price of flour went up, and now you can only get three sitin for a sela. So again, flour went up. So what's the halacha? So ultimately, again, I'm honored to honor the contract and provide four sa'ah per sela. What happens, Mishal Shabbos, what happens if I contracted with the Beis HaMikdash? And ultimately, again, we locked in a rate of three sitin per sela. And then what happens? The price of flour went down. Va'amdu me'arba, misapek me'arba. Ultimately, again, Shabbos, I go ahead and I now provide more flour. I provide four sitin at a sela. Why? Shiyat hekdish al ha'olyona. Ultimately, again, I will say, because again, the house always wins, right? The Beis HaMikdash always has the upper hand. So I will say, so here's a perfect case. This is what it means when the laws of ribis don't apply to the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to see, this is if we were to do this with each other, this would be a classic ribis scenario. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the laws of ribis don't apply. Therefore, you lock in these contracts. And I will say, again, whatever the fluctuation or valuation, it always goes to the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, if flour becomes more expensive, I have an obligation to go ahead and honor the original contract. If flour becomes less expensive, I have an obligation to go ahead and provide more flour at the rate that we locked in. Incredible. So it says, that's what it means. There is no ribis for the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara gives one more case. This is fascinating. Rav Papa Amar, this is really incredible. Rav Papa Amar Hacha Be'avnei Binyan Hamasuros legizbaraskinan. I will say, this is absolutely riveting. I will say, I just want to point out how privileged we are, right? It's Yom Tov Pesach. This is a time of Aliyah L'Regel. So we don't yet have the ability to be all L'Regel with the Beis HaMikdash. But I will say, but again, the same way that each and every day we say Karbanos, right? Why do we say Karbanos? We say Karbanos Unshama Param Sfasenu. In the absence of the ability to bring Karbanos, the next best thing is the ability to say the psukim. And when you say the psukim, it's a quasi-kiyum of offering up karbanos. So Sotz Rebbe say, if I can't be ola regel, the ability to talk about the Beis HaMikdash, the ability to learn about the Beis HaMikdash, is a quasi-kiyum of aliyah l'regel. So Rebbe say, just have in mind that as we're learning these beautiful gemaras, it is as if We are actually walking in Emirat Hashem to the Bayish Lishi. Today we're doing it with our neshama. But Emirat Hashem, we should be zochet to do it with our guf here of Yameinu. So as I said, now watch this. This is so fascinating. Rav Papa says, I'm going to tell you the case of Ribbis. I'm going to tell you the case of Ribbis when it comes ultimately again to the Beis Hamikdash. What's the case? Watch this. The Beis Hamikdash bought stones. Or I should say, the Beis Hamikdash has stones that it's going to use for construction. The Gizbar is taking those stones and lending them out with interest. I don't know, whatever. You're having company, so you needed some extra tables or some extra seats. Right? So you're borrowing the stones, you're paying a fee for it, and it's a heightened fee. That would be a case, ultimately, again, of interest. Now, listen, now, what's the shot with the stones? I don't understand. Isn't lending out stones the same issue of what? Of the Gizbar lending out money, which is Mi'ila. Once it's Mi'ila, it becomes, we'll say, now watch this. Building materials, listen to this. The Gemara says are different. The Gemara says, Kiddushmo Dabar Shmuel, Bonin Bachol, the Achakach Makdishin. Okay, so we'll say, watch this. Watch this. The Aloha is, let me tell you the bottom line Aloha outside, then we'll see it inside. So we'll say, building materials were not consecrated until they were a fully finished product. Now, what's the pshat of that? Take a look at Rashi. Bonin Bachol, Rashi says, Kishen Bonin Binyane Hekdish. So we'll say, whenever the Beis HaMikdash would be building something, so we'll say, by the way, this is very shayach to know because this has, again, it's a big machlokas, the Baal Shem, the third Beis HaMikdash. Is the third Beis HaMikdash coming down from Shamayim complete, or are we going to have to build it ourselves? Right? That's the machlokas. That's the machlokas, right? Coming down complete, or do we build it ourselves? So watch this. When you build the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, Lo hayu konin ha'avarim, va'atit mimo'os hekdish, k'dei shlo yavo umnin va'am lidei mi'ilo, im yeshvo aleyem, o im yenu mehem. So we'll say, listen to this. Listen to this. So we'll say, here's the issue. You don't want to consecrate building materials as you're building the Mikdash. Why? Because I will say, remember again, let's just imagine this in your mind. So the Beis HaMikdash, third Beis HaMikdash is being built. So the workers are putting down the stones. I will say, then what happens? It's coffee break, right? You need to have a coffee break a little bit, all right? So what do? They put their coffee cup on top of the stone. Or for that matter, again, the worker wants to rest for a moment. He just sits on the stone. If those stones are Kodesh, they're Mi'ila. They're Mi'ila. You know, sometimes they'll say, or somebody comes by, they want to go ahead and have a L'chaim. Right? So, right, and so this happened to me, by the way, it's first day Yontif. We had a first day of walking out our company. Chevra walked by with a bottle of Arak. Just walking around there with a bottle of Arak. So, and it's Pesach, right? You see Yidin with Arak, right? And so what do you do? What do you do if you see a Yid with Arak on Pesach? There's no choice. You don't have a choice about it, right? So they came, so my son-in-law's car was parked in the driveway. So there was a bottle of Arak with a whole bunch of cops on the car. I told my son-in-law, now you can claim the car as parsonage. Right, you know, it's used for Klei Kodesh. So I'll say, so again, you didn't walk around and they make a L'chaim. So here, if the stones themselves were Mukdash, right, if the stones were Hekdish, you'd run into Me'ila. So they do something very interesting. Bless you. So look at Rashi. So I'll say, watch this. The Beis HaMikdash, when it buys building materials, it buys everything on credit. It does not pay. Because we'll say the problem is, if the Beis HaMikdash would purchase building materials, then what? Then they become Kodesh. So what do? This is so fascinating. They buy all of the materials on credit, finish Rashi, Elochim Ba'akafa, Vahari Hein Chol, Ad Sheyivnu Bechoma, Umashim Benuyos Bechoma, Nostin Ma'os Hekdesh, Velochin Al-San, Vehu Hekdeshan. So I'll say, now watch this. So therefore, only after the structures are built, then what? Then the Beis HaMikdash pays the money for the building materials. Once they pay the money for the building materials, then what? Everything becomes Kodesh. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? This is how they would build the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say, it's absolutely fascinating. So again, all building materials bought on credit. No money's paid. This way, again, if anyone uses, right, the stones or anything else, there's no Me'ilo. Only once it is totally built, then and only then do they pay for it. So again, finish Rashi. Oh, emisnadev adim avanim no son lebenai, ben akarin shem hektish aleim, ashetet nela bebenyon, hilchoch lomala gizbar. Say for Abbas, and I watch this, or the other possibility is if somebody is donating the building materials, essentially, again, they donate it, and that's fine. But ultimately, again, the consecration is not made until the structure itself is fully finished. So we'll say, so therefore, what could you have? This is incredible. So what would be a case of ribis? So we'll say, so now watch this. If halach l'maisa, the Beis HaMikdash has building materials, and the gizbar chooses to lend it out to someone, and he says, here, you could borrow this stone, you could use these stones or use this wood, again, at a rate of, I don't know, $100 a week. It would normally only cost $80 a week. So that's ribis. But yet, people say, what's the halacha? Beis HaMikdash is permitted to charge ribis. Okay, I will say fascinating, no? So just will say it's just one of these. This is the beauty of Daf Yomi, I will say, that you pick up like these beautiful morsels, these beautiful nuggets. So now, I never knew this before. That when the Beis HaMikdash builds, the structures themselves do not become Kodesh until they are finished. Otherwise, you're gonna get into Me'ila problems the entire day. So I will say, that ends the sugya. So we'll say, see, remember again, how long have we been doing this already? Right? So 45 minutes ago when we started this, how do we start this? What was our shayla? Our shayla was, the Mishnah said, there's no ona'a by hektish. What about bitul mekach? So we'll say, I know that that means that halacha l'maaseh, if it's a sixth, there's no ona'a by the mikdash. Mikdash could even charge even by a sixth. What about more than a sixth? Is there bitul mekach or not? So we'll say, the Rambam Paskins, get ready for it. There is no bitul mekach. So Rabbi says, so essentially what you really say is like this. The laws of Onah as a whole don't apply to the Beis HaMikdash. So whether the Beis HaMikdash undercharges by, or right, overcharges by less than a sixth, or more than a sixth, it doesn't negate the transaction. So halacha l'maaseh, again, essentially, there is no halacha of Onah when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Bible says, obviously, again, how this is all assuming that the Beis HaMikdash is benefiting. If the Beis HaMikdash is the one on the short end of the straw, right? Again, so you always have to make good by the Beis HaMikdash, right? The house always wins, the Beis HaMikdash always wins. But halacha l'maaseh, the Beis HaMikdash undercharges, or I should say overcharges, by less than a sixth, or more than a sixth, the halachas of Onah do not apply to the Beis HaMikdash. That, I will say, is the halacha l'maaseh, so that's number one. And number two, we see now how they dealt with building materials by the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So we'll say, let's finish up. The rest of the sugya, the rest of the daf is pretty quick. Let's go. Ein bohem. I think I say that all the time, right? Ein bohem teshlumei kefil. Furthermore, again, I will say, there is no din of kefil. And I will say, remember again, going through the list, we said these are the things that are not subject to Onah. They're also not subject to kefil. What's not subject to kefil? Avadim, shtaros, karkos, and hekdeshos. So how do I know this? Here we go. Says the Gemara Menani. How do I know this? I'll call Davar Pesha Klal. So I'll say, this is the pasuk by kefil. We're supposed to get, when do you pay kefil? When you steal something. Right? So again, it says, I'll call Davar Pesha for any matter of iniquity. Klal. That's a general statement. Al Shar, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salmo. Then it says, what type of item, if you steal it, would you be chayiv for kefil? For example, an ox, a donkey, a set, a sheep, or a salma. Salma means a garment. Prat, that's a prat. I'll call a veda for any item that is lost. Asher yomar, chazer v'kala. So we'll say that's another klal. What do you have over here? Klal uprat uklal. I have an inclusive statement, a limiting statement, and then another inclusive statement. So we'll say whenever you have a klal uprat uklal, that is an exegetical principle. How do you dash in a klal uprat uklal? Iyatadat elakina prat. So we'll say in a klal uprat uklal, The prat comes to essentially limit the scope or modify, really limit the scope of the klal. So the Gemara says, "Ma prat mafurash dara metaltal v'gufa mamon." So I say, just like the prat, what's the prat? It's dara metaltal. Number one, it's movable, and number two, it has an inherent value. So therefore, I will say only. So what's subject to the laws of kefil? I've called davar hametaltal v'gufa mamon. So I will say, so too, what is subject to the laws of kefil? When do you have to be a double payment? Only if it conforms to these same criteria. Number one, it's movable. Number two, it's inherently valuable. What does that come to exclude? Here we go. Yatsub karka, shematalin. So it excludes karka. Why? Why? Karka is not movable. Yatsu avadim shushul. It excludes avadim. Why? Because ultimately, again, an eved is compared to karka. Yatsu shtaros, it excludes shtaros. Why? So, it excludes shtar. Why? Because even though a shtar is movable, a shtar rabosai is what? Shtar rabosai is what? Is not inherently valuable. This was the daf of the first day of Yom Tov rabosai. What does a shtar represent? What does the shtar represent? A right to collect. But a shtar in and of itself is not inherently valuable. So the Gemara says, Hekdeshos omakra re'ehu v'lo hekdesh. So we'll say hekdesh in general is excluded. Why? Because the most of this psukim is, this applies to re'ehu, to something between you and your friend, and hekdesh is not your friend. Right? Hekdesh is not re'ehu. Hekdesh is not re'ehu. Next, we'll say, v'lo teshu l'dalavei. Furthermore, this whole list of items is also not subject to the 4 and 5 time penalty. Right? Now this is an easy one. My time, Tashlumi Dalit Vehem Rahman of Lo Tashlumi Shlosh of Arav. We'll say, remember this from our Baba Kama days. We'll say, Arav Vechamisha, the 4 and 5 time penalty payment is always built upon what? Always built upon what? Kefil. Kefil. So therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, if you don't have Kefil, which we've just established, you don't have Arav Vechamisha. Next, Shomechinam Inonishba. So we'll say, furthermore, again, and we'll say, so just to plug this in, a Shomer Chinam would not swear in these cases. Now, I'll say, so just to understand, a Shomer Chinam, unpaid custodian, is chai for what? What is he chai for? Pshia. Right? Pshia, for negligence. Right? So, aloch lamaisa, pretty much everything else, he's going to be pater. Now, as we've already established, when we say that a Shomer Chinam is pater, I'll say, what does that mean? It means he has to take shiur. In other words, he always has to swear. He always still has to swear that he hasn't been a poshea. So like Rashi over here says, Eino Nishba, Shalom Pasha, Shalom Eskikaso, Torah Lishabale. So we'll say, so for any of these items, Avadim, Shtaros, Karkaos, Hekdeshos, if these items were deposited with a Shomer Chinam, and now they're gone, and the Shomer Chinam says, I'm so sorry, it was an Ones, right? Or Gneva Va'aveda, he doesn't have to swear in order to free himself from liability with these items. So let's just finish up, then we're going to stop for today. Minan Emili, where do we know this from? Where do you know this? This is the problem with doing daf after davening. I apologize. It just feels like we have all the time in the world. I'm sorry. I just have to be more mindful of this. People have chalom. Unless I'm saving you from something. If I'm saving you from something, feel free to stay as long as you want, right? So from where do I know this from? That a Shomer Chinam does not have to go ahead and take a shavua on these items. The Tanah Banan. Ki yitin ish al re'ehu. Suppose now watch this. The pasuk over here is talking about, also talking about kefal. So the Gemara says, "In yitein ish re'ehu kesef al kelim lishmar the gunav mi beis ha'ish in mi beis ha'gan al yishalim shnayim." So we'll say, so ultimately, this is talking about shmira. So watch this. Ki yitein ish re'ehu klal. So we'll say, the person will give something to his friend to watch. So ultimately, again, a klal, general statement. So the Gemara says, kesef al kelim. Then it says either money or utensils. Prat. This is specific. The gunav mi beis ha'ish, and then it was stolen. Chazer v'kalal. Klal uprat uklal. So we'll say once again, I have a klal uprat uklal. And once whenever you have a klal uprat uklal, iatadan elakina prat. So we'll say again, with the klal uprat uklal. So the klal is always defined by the prat. Ma prat mefurash darah metal to the gufa mamon. So we'll say just like the prat is something that is inherently valuable and alt. I'm sorry, is movable and inherently valuable. Af kol davar hametal to the gufa mamon. So Trebo say, where does this halacha apply? That the Shomer has to take a shavua to anything that is movable and inherently valuable. Therefore, Yatsa Karko Shinim Ataltalin, it excludes Karko that is not movable. Yatsa Avadim Shikshul Karkos, it excludes Avadim that are compared to Karko. Yatsu Shtaros, it excludes Shtaros. Shafa Bisham Ataltalin, Ein Gufon Mamon. And ultimately, it excludes Shtaros. Why? Because even though a Shtar is movable, a Shtar does not possess inherent value. Aye, what about Hekdeshos? Hekdeshos, Omekra Re'ehu. Re'ehu v'lo shel hekdesh. Once again, I will say the Torah used lashon of re'ehu. Re'ehu means your fellow and not hekdesh. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the shomer chinam will be exempted from swearing regarding all of these items. All right, fine. One more piece and then we'll stop. Then we're really going to stop. No seischar, just finish up. It's nice to finish a whole block. No part of our simchas yamtiv. No seischar inu mashalim. So the no seischar ultimately, again, also, actually, we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up, we kept you long enough. We'll pick up over here. We'll say, Tremendous. Ein simchas yamtiv gedola mizo. We'll say again, so we emerge with an important piece of halacha about inon al hektish. We also emerge with a very important piece of halacha ultimately regarding how the Beis Hamikdash consecrates building materials. Shkayach, have a good night, everyone. Same time tomorrow. All right, have on Zoom. Good night, everyone. Good to see everyone.